And it is Tuesday, July the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2013. And being a Tuesday, it means it's Ruminations Tuesday, when we have another pastor with us to discuss issues that are very interesting. And a lot of lay people are talking about them and wondering, what does the church do about these? But before we get started on the issue, we want to welcome again our dear friend, Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. Is it hot enough for you here?
Yes, I think it is hot enough. Let me see.
Well, it's a hot one today, isn't it?
Yes. What is the temperature out there?
I have no idea. It's got to be climbing toward 100.
Didn't you hear me? I just said it's 96.
Oh, did you?
I can see you're really listening to the weather.
I'm thinking ahead.
Worldwide KFUO. And I got to be careful because we have a friend here, Buzz, and he sometimes looks at the weather in Bohemia or something like that. And one time I started doing the weather and it wasn't nothing like in Clayton.
Wasn't anything like Clayton.
That's what I just said. It wasn't nothing like in Clayton. Okay. What is the subject we're going to be talking about today? I don't know if many of you heard of groups that attempt to help homosexuals get out of their lifestyle, but one of them was called Exodus International, and we have in our hands a very interesting article that they closed on June the 19th. This was referred to as a reparative therapy ministry, and it kind of collapsed under its own weight. And it was really quite interesting reading the article, because I can understand why it collapsed under its own whole weight. Let me ask you, Mark. You were making a comment about why you think some of these groups are collapsing, and what's your reasoning?
Well, you know, I don't understand same-sex attraction. I just don't. I'm heterosexual, and I do not understand the attraction a man has for another like that. I will never understand it. I can't help but wonder if, you know, knowing how often in among the evangelicals, how often they miss the law-gospel distinctions, knowing how often even among us Lutherans, we fail to appreciate the importance of absolution, bestowing the absolution, the forgiveness of sins, not just talking about the fact that Jesus has atoned for all our sins, but that Jesus forgives you. I wonder if that wasn't brought to bear on enough of these kinds of ministries. Hey, look, I don't know. Homosexuality, like I said, it's a mystery to me. I will never understand it. But that doesn't, the fact that this organization failed does not change the fact that it's a sin. You know, what do you do with it? Just because these guys feel enmeshed and entrenched in that sin, do we just ignore that it's a sin? I mean, we can't.
They call it reparative therapy, and there was one statement in here that really brought me some light as to why these things are failing. After decades of telling them that change of orientation is the answer, emphasizing heterosexuality and straight marriage as the end goal for everyone. You know, if that was their goal, now I understand why they were failing. Because I put homosexuality in the same category as alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think an alcoholic ever becomes a non-alcoholic.
Yeah, right. I see where you're going with it. Yeah, I agree. You know, maybe you're right. I think maybe it was too ambitious a goal,
yes,
to think that you could actually change these guys or these ladies around to be attracted to the other gender. Maybe that's too grand a goal. Maybe they should have been satisfied to get these people to the point where, hey, look, I have these tendencies, I have these inclinations.
Yes,
but I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it. I may not marry a person of the opposite sex, but I'm at least to the point where I rely on God, the Holy Spirit, and the help of the gospel and the power of God, and I'm going to fight this thing. I may not get married, but I am going to fight this inclination. I'm not going to act it out. And if I do, I'm going to ask for God's forgiveness, and I'm going to pick up the pieces and go on and do the best I can with my life that He's given me.
Well said. For example, I'm sure you have members of your congregation who have never married.
Right.
We don't
right.
consider them to be sinful.
That's right.
And so when you have the goal for a gay person of something that you don't even ask for a straight person to do,
right.
no wonder you're going to fail.
Yeah.
In other words, an alcoholic still is tempted. I want to read a couple of things here. Now, these are the leaders of the gay movement, and this is or this gay reparative movement. One's name's Smid, and the other's Chambers. Listen to this. Smid and Chambers both remain married to women, but acknowledge ongoing same-sex attraction. Polk divorced his wife earlier this year. Bussey left his wife and entered a relationship with another Exodus leader, Gary Cooper, who died of AIDS
right.
in 1991. And Bussey is now in another relationship with another man.
Yeah.
Now, you see,
this is the leadership.
Yes, this is the leadership. No wonder this thing failed.
Well, that's it. You have to ask, you know.
But you see, he acknowledged ongoing same-sex attraction. You know, a sin is a sin, right. whether by deed or by thought.
Right. That's right.
The Sermon on the Mount is really good. I have never murdered anybody by deed.
Yeah. But even if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery.
Well, that's
heart.
Another that's example he gives.
Right.
So, but according to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, every person has murdered someone. And Luther's Small Catechism is really good. Because thou shalt not kill, what does this mean? We should fear and love God.
We do not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. And how many of us have done that when we should?
No, except for me, very few. Well, wait a minute. I just became a Pharisee, didn't I?
Absolutely.
Yes. And see, I'm proud of being humble. Okay, so, but you get the point I'm trying to make here. If you're an alcoholic, you're successful when you're able to fight it and not take a drink for a long time. It doesn't mean that the desires are going to go away.
That's right.
And you and I may not understand attraction to the same sex, but we also don't understand how a grown man can be attracted to children.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's weird.
But I am knowledgeable about how some of us are attracted to going over the speed limit.
Yeah, and I can understand how we abuse our body by not taking care of ourselves, by eating too much. I understand that. I can't even understand alcoholism very much. I just don't,
well,
I don't have that
I'll
information.
I'll tell you why. You and I have a gift. We don't like drinking a lot of alcohol.
We like soda.
Yeah, I love it.
White Castles and Chinese food
that,
and all that.
That orange diet soda we get from Schnucks.
You see,
it's wet, it's smooth,
and
when it's sweet.
Oh, effervescent.
But it has no salt, it has no sugar in it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's that good stuff. And
but
every
you're
now
right.
and then, I really like drinking a beer.
Yeah, a cold beer on a hot day.
Well, you hit that on the head. I used to work for a landscaping company, and at the end of the shift, we would go to this bar, and they had Michelob on draft with ice glasses.
Oh, man.
Man, I tell you, I only took one at a time because I was driving a motorcycle. But boy, that was, was that good.
Do you realize what we're doing to all these reformed alcoholics out in the listening audience?
Yes, but you see, I just had a beer about 3 days ago, and that was the first one in 7 months.
Yeah.
In fact, our refrigerator has beer in it that Louis says is there for 3 years, you know, because soda, I had an affinity for liquor, I'd be in trouble.
Oh, I would be. I know I couldn't take $1 million to give up chocolate. I'm that way with chocolate. I could not give up chocolate or pizza or spaghetti for $1 million. I could not.
Boy.
So if I were an alcoholic, I'd be a bad one.
No, yes. The fact I'm trying to make here is that all of us have some sinful inclinations.
Chinks in our armor.
And a gay person probably would look at us and say, how can you even want to go over the speed limit or something like that?
Yeah, right.
You know, so we're all different. But the big point to make is under law, God doesn't make a distinction between sins.
No,
they're
that's right.
all deserving of eternal damnation.
Absolutely.
As the Sermon on the Mount says, and the reason I like the murder one is because after each one, he indicates what the punishment is, and every one of them is hell thought, word, or deed, you get the same punishment, eternal damnation, because you're not being punished for your sin. You're punished for the unbelief behind it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a rebellion.
Right. That's right.
And the only difference between a gay person who's a Christian and a gay who isn't is the one who's a Christian repents of his sin, is sorry for it, knows it's wrong. He still at times may fall into it.
But Christ's righteousness has covered up all those sins.
That's exactly right.
I mean, he's completely covered.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, we need to emphasize that. We really do have to hold aloft the gospel. You know, I mean, we've got to rightly apply the law and the gospel for the sake of these poor. You know, you gotta hurt for these poor people that do struggle with homosexuality. I mean, I really do. I feel for them.
Yeah.
And you know, especially when they know it's wrong and they want to fight against it, but they still feel alienated. They still feel unaccepted. You know, God help them. I mean, God enable us to rightly apply the gospel to those, especially the gospel to those who are repentant and really fighting all they can against it.
What's wrong with Exodus International and these other groups, they got the law wrong, and therefore they never mention the gospel.
Yeah.
They get the law wrong because they think the way you get repaired is you have to stop all your temptations.
Right, right.
You can't be tempted anymore.
That's right.
And you have to also end up wanting to be married.
Yeah.
That is.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that was their goal.
And if
you fall short of that goal, you're still sinning.
Right. Whereas from a Christian point of view, your goal is to repent of that.
Right.
And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll do less and less and maybe get to a point like an alcoholic can do where you're not doing it anymore. But there's another part of the gospel that a lot of people forget about because they say, you know, I just cannot control myself, they say, and I stop from doing it, but I still have these thoughts.
Well, that's the gospel has the power to help you in that.
That's not enough.
Okay.
You have to break it down. And you like this because I know you do. It's the distinction between his passive and active obedience.
Yes, yes. That is so helpful. I don't know if I explained it as well as you do, but you know, two types of people come into your office.
Yes.
Seeking help and forgiveness and comfort.
Right.
The one person comes in and he feels like, you know, I'm just not a very good Christian. I miss church all the time. I just can't seem to give my offerings as I should.
He's talking about sins he commits.
Yeah. Sins of commission.
Yes.
That he just feels like he's fallen far short of. And I say, I tell that guy, look, you're already covered with Christ's righteousness by Christ's active obedience.
He's
already fulfilled the law for you.
You reversed it.
Have I got it reversed?
That's your forgiven sins that you commit.
Right.
The act of obedience is
He's done it for you.
No. The act of obedience is for sins for good works you omit to do.
Right.
Okay, now let's take the homosexual.
I think you got it, Matt. I think you got it mixed up.
No, because passively he died on the cross.
Right,
and you get
right,
the
right.
Forgiveness of sins.
Right.
Which is
But that's for real sordid sins that you feel.
No, any sin.
Any sin.
Any sin.
Right.
Actively, he obeyed the commandments perfectly and transfers that righteousness to you. So in God's sight, you do every good work.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, I thought you'd said the opposite. Okay, now let's bring it down to homosexuals.
Yeah.
If the homosexual is repentant of his deeds, he says, you know, I see what I did to my wife. I don't see how God still loves me. Then you give the passive obedience and the forgiveness of
sins. That's a passive obedience.
Right.
Because every single sin, our deepest, darkest, most horrid secret sins, is still covered by his blood flowing on the cross.
That's right. That's forgiveness of sins. But if he comes in and says, you know, Pastor, I've been able to stop, but I still have these temptations. I still have these thoughts.
Christ has fulfilled the law for you.
I'm not able to do good works properly here. What's my hope? You can't give him forgiveness because
Christ has already fulfilled
that.
Christ has already kept the law for you perfectly. You're coupled. You're doubly covered.
And what do we call that? I'll start it off. You finish it. It's called the robe
of righteousness.
Yes. So the robe of righteousness means that from God's point of view, you have committed every good work.
That's right. Because he looks
Christ
at you.
It. Yes.
He looks at you through Christ's righteousness.
Well,
he sees no sin. We know that we're poor, sinful, poor, miserable sinners. But when he looks at you through the righteousness that Christ has earned for you on the cross, he sees you completely covered. Your sins are completely covered by his righteousness.
Now, what's going to be happening here, and I'm going to talk a lot more at length tomorrow on this with orders of creation, is that God has set up the world with certain laws, both natural and moral. And when those are broken, like if you jump out of a window, you ain't going to hover at the window.
No,
you're
going
to fall to the ground. That's called gravity.
Right.
But when you are immoral, there are particular things that are consequences for those sins that occur right here in the temporal realm. And it's been my opinion that you're going to have even more homosexuals committing suicide now because you're not going to be able to get rid of those negative consequences.
It's like, I remember Professor Overdone. He was from
Australia.
Yeah. Years ago at the seminar, he made the point that, you know, while God forgives, certain things nature does not forgive.
Well, there he's making the distinction between the two kingdoms.
Right.
Forgiveness only occurs in the spiritual realm.
Right.
It does not occur in the temporal realm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So God will forgive me going over the speed limit, but the judge is still going to fine me.
And he will forgive the drunkard if he's repentant and believes.
Yes.
But the drunkard may die of cirrhosis of the liver.
Or
that's the point that Overdone would make.
Or he may go to jail because he hit somebody
when
he was drunk.
That's right.
By the way, that natural law kicked in for me. You know how I love driving to churches on Sundays.
Yes.
And so I went to this one place. It was a 300-mile round trip. I got 26 miles to the gallon. The next week, I went on another 300-mile trip, and I got 29 miles to the gallon. And the only difference was the first trip was on expressways. And the second trip was on country roads where I couldn't go over 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I began thinking, you know, how much money would I really save? And Consumer Reports came out this week, the new one. And they took four cars. This is an amazing article. Four vehicles, and they drove them, I think, let's say 100 miles at 40 miles an hour, at 50 miles an hour, and 60 miles an hour, 65. And the difference was quite astounding. How much more mileage you get.
I would think the one that about 55, they used to say 55 miles was the optimum.
Well, what I did last Sunday, I went to the same place I went to last time, 26 miles to the gallon. And I did not go over 55, ever. Now, that's really interesting because everybody was passing me. I couldn't believe. But you see, I have CDs and stuff like that. Yeah. And I drove into the parking lot of the church, and I looked down to see how many miles to the gallon. I remember before it was 26. You know what it was?
I have no idea.
35.
35 miles to the gallon at 55.
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, it was huge.
Sure.
Now, here's the one thing you got to do. Is for every hour your trip is, you have to leave 15 minutes earlier.
Right.
So I was on the road for 3 hours and 45 minutes. But the round trip, I saved $12 in gas. And I will easily take $12 for every 45 minutes. So I even did that.
Good luck, Tom. I don't know if you have that much self-control.
Well,
when it comes to the pedal.
I don't, but I have cruise control.
That's what it'll take.
Now, what I'm trying to show you here is, you know, I was born with a heavier right foot. And so it's just not my fault I go over the speed limit. But at any rate, cruise control, I'd never buy a car without testing it out that it can cruise at 30 miles an hour. Because I even use it that in the city and everything. If it can't cruise at 30, I don't buy the car. And most of my cars can 28 miles an hour, the truck and stuff like that. So be that as it may, this is a way. Okay, I love going over the speed limit.
Yeah, what's your point now? How does this apply this to some of these sins we've been talking about?
what a homosexual what needs to be done, and I'm not a good psychologist on this, and this is why you need good Christian counselors, is there are things you can do to stop from going over the speed limit, like right. making sure you have cruise control. Right. And then, see, I'm motivated by the law.
Right.
I'm saving a lot of
that's
money.
Right. Sure.
I'm not motivated by the gospel.
No,
that's not enough
that's
for me,
right.
unfortunately.
You need the law.
Yeah, and so do some homosexuals.
That's
and
right.
so what we need to do as a church is devise a counseling system with goals not to get them from stopping to be tempted, because that's impossible.
Right.
Now, sometimes it can occur. I imagine we can run into some alcoholics that never get tempted. You know, it's hard for me to believe that. But through the law, you can be motivated not to do sin because it's in your self-interest. And through the gospel, you can be motivated not to sin because of your love for Christ. And the more you get involved with Christ, the more motivated you become. So my old Adam was going the 55 because I wanted $12. But my new man was going 55, you know, because it's a law, you know. But you got to always remember, the old man and the new man are going to have different motivations. So that was the point I wanted to make with this. I'm looking forward. I'm going another 270 miles round trip this Sunday out in southern Illinois. And I'm going to do the same thing and make sure it wasn't the wind behind me or something like that. But I used to brag that in this car, I get 33 miles to the gallon. And here, just by doing that, I got 35. And
I think you just had a time warp or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I remember
time warps
a little
used
trip
to
like that. So, every congregation does have people who have these temptations in all kinds of areas.
Right.
And so, a good pastor, first of all, will recognize that there are people like that. I mean,
hurting people.
I was in a
need the gospel.
No, I was in a Bible study and I was talking about abortion and a woman got up and left.
Right. That's right.
And I have no idea if she was going to an appointment or anything, but we need to be really careful
absolutely.
As we say that. Now, the way you do that is when you point the finger to those doing that, you have three fingers coming back
exactly.
at yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that's the first
stress
thing
to forgiveness.
Second, you don't put goals that God doesn't promise he'll achieve.
Mm-hmm.
God promises through the word repentance,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't promise
that we'll be able to lead a lily white life afterward.
Yeah. As they say, after decades of telling them that change of orientation is the answer. No, you may not have a change of orientation, but you can have the strength in Christ to overcome it.
Yeah. Maybe the best you can hope for is that the person realizes, this is wrong. I'm going to fight it with all my might.
Right.
God help me. I'm probably going to lose a lot of times, but the Lord's with me.
Alcoholics Anonymous have some techniques that we could borrow for any kind of sin. One of the things they do is they always give you a partner. So if you're really having a trouble, you phone him, you know, and then he'll try and talk you out of it and
right.
stuff like that. So we can learn from even secular things, because there's two things we need to help homosexuals with. Number one, we need to see it's in their self-interest not to do the action. And number two, we need to show them that God's will for them is not to do the action, and he sent his son to the cross in order that they might have a new creation. But we need to recognize that not until Judgment Day will we get the new body and the new spirit.
And also, is it important to stress the power that is inherent in the Lord's Supper?
Explain that. How you would mean
well,
that.
There's power.
Yeah.
We Lutherans believe that the Lord's Supper strengthens us in our resolve. And we may not be perfect, but it can give us a power and a strength to fight the old evil foe.
And the way it does it is, first of all, no one can take the Lord's Supper unless they're a sinless human being from God's point of view, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's
right.
How the Lord's Supper can be taken. But then Paul makes a point about if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then remember, he says, you don't want to be fooling around with another woman.
That's right.
And so this is where our motivation comes from, how the Holy Supper, it would be like... Here's what you'd want to get, homosexual or anybody addicted to any sin, as we all are in some area. It would be, if you're going to go do it, it would be like loving your mother and father, and they get their new car and it's in the driveway and they're showing it to you, and you take out a knife and you puncture all their tires. That's what a sin deliberately done is to God. Mm-hmm. You're puncturing his tires, you're spitting in the face of Jesus. Yeah. And so that's why homosexuals have to try and get their people to think that this is an okay lifestyle and it's according to God's will, where it is not.
And another thing that comes to me too, that if you're talking to a homosexual that has just committed to the outward act,
yeah,
shouldn't you point them toward their baptism too? All those sins are washed away.
Yes, if he is repentant. Right. Remember, what does Jesus mean? Don't throw pearls to the swine.
Yeah, right. That's right.
In other words, don't give the gospel to somebody who's not ready for it.
Impenitent, right.
Who's impenitent, because that would be an appropriate use of mm-hmm. law and gospel. Well, guess what? Our time is up. Which means tomorrow I'm maybe going to be talking about natural law. A little bit. We got that document. Yeah. And I'm going to tie it into the orders of creation. But I think this is a good conversation starter to show the listening radio audience that God loves homosexuals and he desires them.
He redeemed them too.
He redeemed them too. Thank you very much, Mark, for being with me. I'm Tom Baker. Mark will be back next week. Till then. Tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.